What are some of the statistics? Now, I've been blown away by what I see, but help us better understand the scope of the debt problem that we as a nation face.
Well, we can break it down into a lot of statistics, but I like just starting with the overall big picture. So if we look at the average American that's carrying debt, what is the balance that they're carrying? And as of the end of 2018, that was just over $135,000 per household. So certainly not a small number there. And then if we look at the total personal debt in America as a whole, it's over $23 trillion, which is greater than the national debt number that we hear talked about a lot. I think that's sitting at around $22 trillion right now. And it's such a big number that it's really hard for a typical person to even grasp. I know when I hear trillions of dollars, it's hard to even understand really what is that. And we're talking $23 trillion of personal debt. So yeah, it's a huge, huge number.
Well, Brad, I got to ask you this, too, because and I was sharing with Steve earlier when we were promoting that you were going to be joining us this morning. When it comes to even credit card debt, there was a time I just didn't see that in, as cash outflow, because I'm swiping a card. You know, I was in my 20s. What did I know? But I know a lot more now because I made a whole lot of mistakes. And some of us just don't see personal debt as a problem because part of my line of thinking then also was this: well, yeah, I've got to make monthly payments, but I can afford those. It's no big deal. It's no big deal. I got this. Why is that a problem?
Yeah, and so much of our society and our spending is built around this idea of monthly payments. And, you know, very seldom do you see things like cars and things like that where they talk about the actual value or that you're borrowing, that you're spending on the car. It's typically built into monthly payments. Now, one of the biggest problems is this relationship between debt and time. And every time we take out debt, we're committing our future. And we're enjoying a purchase today and promising to pay for it later. If we look at Proverbs 27:1, it says, "Don't boast about tomorrow, for you don't know what tomorrow may bring." And how true is that? So we're assuming when we take on debt that everything's going to stay the same, that our future is predictable, and that we're going to have the income to be able to pay for it. But what happens when that situation changes? Maybe we unexpectedly have a change in our job. Maybe we lose our job. Maybe we have to take a decrease in pay. That can certainly change. And then just as we look at the bigger picture of glorifying God, our primary goal in life, we need to be willing and flexible to go where He tells us to go. And the more debt we take, the more it straps us down to our current situation. So we're making ourselves less available to God every time we take on a little more debt, to the point where I've seen people wanting to go into the mission field be told that they can't go because the sending agency wasn't willing to send them with the debt commitments that they had at that point in time. So we got to be really careful that we're not strapping ourselves down to where we can't even be obedient to where God's leading us.
Well, Brad, you know, there's a lot of misconception out there, and sometimes people talk about good debt versus bad debt. Are some debts worse than others, or do we need to look at them as all the same?
It's some of both. So Scripture, when it warns us about debt, it's warning us about debt in general. It doesn't break us down into this form or that form. So any form of debt can be dangerous. And anytime we take on debt, as we see in Proverbs, there's this servant-master role that takes place, where the borrower is becoming servant to the lender. So that's going to happen with any form of debt. Now, the amount of danger that I would say that's associated with each debt is how easily can we get out of that servant role? So we've borrowed money. We're now servant to somebody else. How easily can we unwind that and get ourselves out of that servanthood that goes with that debt? So it goes back to the whole idea. If God calls you, how easily can you unwind your commitments, unwind your debts that you have, and be able to go where God leads you? Or are you pretty much stuck and you can't get out of them very easily? So the more we're stuck in that servanthood, the more dangerous the debt is.
Well, Brad, give us some examples of debts that would be more or less dangerous than others. What do we need to consider there?
Sure. So as we look at how can we unwind the debt, do we have the asset that we bought with that money that we borrowed that we could just sell it and get back out of the debt? So a classic example is the house. So we buy a house. House prices traditionally go up over time. It doesn't always happen in the short term, but traditionally they're going to increase in value. So the hope is that at any point in time we need to move, we can sell our house, be able to pay off the mortgage on the house, and we can go on our way, and hopefully even have a little money left over. compare that to a car loan. So we take out, we buy a car, we take out the loan on it. Well, it's an asset that will decrease in value as we use it and as time passes. So it's possible that we're not paying off that loan as quickly as the value of that car is decreasing in value. So that could leave us upside down in the loan where we actually owe more than the car is worth. So that presents a little more danger because at any point in time, we may not be able to fully get out of debt by just selling the thing that we purchased. Now take it to credit cards. With credit cards, we're typically buying things that we're consuming. So whether that be clothes, going out to eat, all of those types of things, we typically don't have any kind of asset that we can sell to go pay off our credit card debt. So that makes that even more dangerous because now we've got this debt hanging over us, but we don't have an asset that offsets the value that we owe to somebody else. So that makes it even harder to get out of that debt.
Well, when you think about that, we sometimes get to this point where we could be 18, 24 months away from our purchase. And then by then, we don't even know what it was that we bought in the first place that we're paying for to this day. Isn't that crazy?
That's very typical.
It's craziness. And we all do it. We're all guilty of it. Hey, when it comes to considering the dangers associated with debt, then where would you place a student loan?
Student loans are interesting because a lot of people are going to consider student loans an investment. So it's an investment in an education. That education is giving us an ability to earn a greater future income. So that's the idea of the student loan and why people are taking it out. And I don't disagree with that. But if we're going to look at it as an investment, we also need to evaluate how good is that return that we're expecting from our investment. That college education is a means to an end, and that end is the career that we're getting. Unfortunately, I see a lot of times that people are taking out even up to six figures in student loan debt, so over $100,000 in debt, without ever considering, is there going to be a career at the end of this that can pay off that debt? And just like we're talking about with credit card debt, we don't have a physical asset that we can go sell. So we're really consuming this education that we're getting. And we don't have an asset that we can unwind this debt with. So we can't go sell our education. We have to go get a career that uses that education and earns us an income that then pays back the student loan. And then the most dangerous aspect of it is that student loans have more teeth than a lot of other forms of debt do. So if you get yourself very over your head in debt, in student loan debt, even bankruptcy is not going to wipe out that loan. Mm-hmm. Where credit cards and a lot of other forms of debt, there's that legal protection. With student loans, there's very little legal protection to allow you to unwind it when it's all said and done. So we need to be very, very careful, whether it's our kids or whether it's somebody considering it for themselves. What is that investment at the end of this? What's that payoff of that investment? Am I going to be able to pay off this student loan debt that I'm taking out?
And, you know, that's something my son has been talking to me about, Brad, because he's in his junior year of college now and he's starting to consider, because he does have student loan debt, am I going to be able to take care of that with the career for which I am training? And, man, we got to think about that before we ever hit the doors of the college the first time. So talking about the downside of debt, Brad, what advice do you have for people listening right now who may be considering it for whatever reason?
I prefer a three-step process, and this could be used for all purchases, but certainly ones where debt's going to be associated with it. First thing you have to ask yourself is, do I actually need it? Am I buying it to glorify myself, or am I buying it to glorify God and filling a need? And if you actually need it, then the next question to ask is, can I afford it? Am I trying to live beyond my means, or do I actually have a realistic expectation of being able to pay this debt back off? And you have to be able to consider all of the expenses that go with it. So if you're looking at buying a house, you can't just look at the mortgage payment. With that house is going to go insurance, taxes, utilities, the furniture you're going to put inside the house. There's a lot of additional expenses that go with purchasing a house. So we need to evaluate all the expenses that go with whatever that purchase is. And then the last, and this is always good wisdom for any financial decision, is to seek godly counsel. When we make financial decisions, especially purchases, we tend to make them based on emotion. And emotional spending is not always in our best interest. So if we can go and ask somebody else that's willing to tell us the truth, whether we should do something or whether we shouldn't, they're not just going to agree with us, but we go ask them their opinion of it, they're not emotionally tied to that decision like we are. And just like Proverbs 12:15 says, the way of the fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. we have to be willing to accept that advice. So go find somebody that's willing to tell you what you don't want to hear, and then listen to them.